Friday, April 22nd. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, I want to take you to two stories today. Both have similar themes. First off, out of the Christian Post, a court in the United Kingdom has cleared a 72-year-old Christian street preacher of all charges a year after his arrest for purportedly causing harm and distress in London by preaching about the biblical definition of marriage, which police say was hate speech.
Here is a preacher. What he would make a habit of is finding the place in the public square, carry a stepladder, and would stand up on the stepladder to preach, which, being a man who is getting older in life, I find that absolutely amazing that a 72-year-old man could keep his balance on a stepladder to preach. I think he needs to be honored and allowed to preach just for such a feat. Secondly, people coming by that didn't like the message wanted to shut it down, so they complained to the police. One of the policemen who came clearly had sympathies with the complainers as he became personally offended by this preacher, and it showed up with the acknowledged unnecessary violence in the arrest of this 72-year-old man as the crowd hovered around the moment. And then this has been making its way through the courts. Well, obviously, we would see the case here with an appeal to the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, free speech, and the free practice of religion. But our Declaration of Independence, inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, affirmed not only in the Constitution, but in the Bill of Rights as well, and what we call the First Amendment, and the first liberty in the First Amendment, which is the free practice of religion, followed by free speech and free assembly, which includes free disassembly. In other words, if somebody is publicly saying something that you disagree with and it's protected speech, you just have the freedom not to assemble with them and move on in your private life or move on to another assembly. Well, that actually is rooted out of the progress of English jurisprudence all the way back to the Magna Carta of 1215, as well as other ordinances in English law, which predates the very founding of our nation and had influence on the formation of our documents, such as the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So ultimately, these rights have absolved Pastor John Sherwood, who was preaching, as well as the gentleman that was accompanying him at the time and assisting him. So not only has he been absolved and not only the charges dismissed, but he can go back and begin to do what he has done. Now, people ask me, why doesn't he just go on to jail? Didn't Paul go on to jail? Yes, a moment like this should not amaze us. Receptivity to the gospel in the public square is what ought to amaze us. The gospel is a scandal. The gospel is an offense. It says you need a savior. That's offensive. It says that you nor your man-made religion can save yourself. The gospel says only Jesus can save you, and that is an offense. That is a scandal. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. Paul was willing to suffer. Yes, Paul went to prison, went to jail. Yes, Paul was beaten, almost losing his life on a couple of occasions. But he also made appeal three different times. He made appeal to Roman law. He didn't do so because he wasn't willing to suffer. He didn't do so because he thought it was unfair. On the contrary, he understands and warns all of us that all of us will suffer in some way to some time for Jesus if we are faithful to Jesus in this world. But what he was doing was trying to carve out not only legal freedom, but cultural opportunities for the spreading of the gospel. So he was making use of Roman law. And he wasn't only thinking about the present, he was thinking about future Christians as he was trying to carve out the opportunity for them to speak without expecting such persecution. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did the same thing in five different dynasties and two different empires. Pastor Sherwood has affirmed something I deeply believe in the church I believe needs to recapture, and that's the primacy of preaching, not only in the pulpit in a sanctuary, but to the streets. The movement of the gospel began with the street preaching of the Apostle Peter in the streets of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. It continued with the street preaching of all the apostles, Paul, when he would go to the marketplace or he went to Mars Hill in order to preach Jesus, the primacy of preaching. Secondly, the primacy of evangelistic preaching, preaching the glorious gospel that has the bad news, we're sinners under the judgment of God, and the good news that God has made a way when there was no way, and that way is Jesus, who is our Redeemer. And thirdly, the preaching of God's word by every Christian as we proclaim Christ to the world. We are willing, ready, and able to preach Christ everywhere.
Harry, let me take you to a parallel story which also has implications for freedom of speech and freedom of religion. An Ohio university has settled a high-profile case with a Christian professor by saying it won't force him to use transgender pronouns and agreeing to pay $400,000 in damages and attorney's fees. Shawnee State University settled the case in recent days, approximately 1 year after the U.S. Sixth Court of Appeals sided with philosophy professor Nicholas Merriweather, a devout Christian who was disciplined by the school for not using the preferred pronouns of a transgender student.
He just said, well, first of all, there's free speech. Secondly, there's science. Thirdly, there's reality. As I look at you and as I deal with you, I've got to deal with reality. You are a man or you are a woman. Now, you may identify any way that you want to, but I do not have to participate in a psychological or verbal farce. And he did so very graciously, but when it came to pronouns, he wasn't going to fabricate something. He stood his ground. He was not only a devout Christian, as the article says, he was a gracious Christian in what he did, but he was also a consistent Christian, and it almost cost him his job. But now the courts have affirmed, again, free speech and the free practice of religion in the public square. You cannot violate the Bill of Rights in terms of an academic institution that is supported from public resources. And so he has been so affirmed. We come across the Atlantic Ocean and we see the same issue of the public square and the appeal, the right appeal to the legal recourses that were available, not only for his sake and his vocation, but also for the sake of other believers in the public square, other Christians that would be employed at this university. And it also becomes a warning to others not to do the same thing, or you will end up having to give resources out of financial penalties such as those that came out of this particular case. So, Tom, that causes some of these businesses and institutions to pause. If I do this in order to virtue signal to the LGBTQAI plus agenda, now the court system has said, no, it's going to cost you because you have violated the law which protects free speech and the free practice of religion. The Constitution is not dismissed, nor is the Bill of Rights dismissed. So I applaud again him following the Pauline example, not only at Shawnee University, but in other similar situations. Not the least of which is a warning to the Academy, which is perhaps one of the biggest promoters of this sexual revolution and the anarchy that it is promoting in a culture of insanity and absurdity and lethality as well as immorality. Tom, I applaud these Christians. I am grateful to pray for them. I am grateful that we have at least some sanity left in the court system, and I am praying that it will create the appropriate space so that Christians who are willing to suffer will not have to endure some suffering that not only impacts them but impacts their family when their vocations are at stake. But here's the lesson, whether it's Professor Merriweather or Pastor Sherwood, as believers, no matter what the cost, stand firm for Christ so that we stand firm, we stand up, and we speak out, and may Christ be exalted as we do so with truth and love.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. To order your copy of this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today in perspective.